Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Hail Mary, full of grace. My oldest daughter's name is Mary Grace. She said, Dad, was I named after the Immaculate Conception? I said, well, if as a title of the Blessed Mother, yes, but that wasn't the reason for Hail Mary, full of grace. It was really, I mean, her name being Mary Grace. It had to do with our love for the Blessed Mother, carrying my devotion to her, and in particular, to the Rosary. In this program, I'm going to share with you sort of like our journey with the Rosary. Lots of principles and practices that you can implement in your home, in your life. It's something that you can pass on to your kids, your grandkids. It's something that Carrie and I did, married 31 years, raising 9 kids. How did we pray the Rosary? Not always well. What are some of the tips, strategies, practices, things that we did that worked, other things that we did that were like, you know, got to do better than that. And so I'm actually excited. I got a lot of stories about the Rosary in my life, in my family's life, but also drawing from the teaching of the church about the different stages of prayer and how that also maps out against how you pray the Rosary. And in addition, just learning from some principles of prayer, some practices of prayer. And I'm going to bet you'll smile if you pray the Rosary. You'll say, yeah, we do that. Oh, we didn't do that. Maybe I'm going to try that. So I'm excited in this season of Advent, as the Blessed Mother takes center stage in her time of expectant waiting. We want to have that sense of expectant faith, that confidence that the Lord is coming. Praying the Rosary every day. Praying the Rosary is a powerful way for us to express that beautiful gift of hope. That's what I'm going to talk about today in the program, and I'll do so in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. Well, I guess I should probably say a Hail Mary. It's probably a very fitting way to pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for the gift of our Blessed Mother. I thank you for the spiritual motherhood that you will for her to have in our lives. Jesus, I thank you that you gave the gift of your mother to be the mother of the beloved disciple. And Lord, we claim that position of being beloved disciples who also have the beautiful opportunity to welcome you, Blessed Mother, into our homes, into our lives, into our hearts. And so we do that. We say yes to you, Blessed Mother. Please come even more intimately into our lives and nurture in us the image, the reality of your Son, Jesus, so that he might reign more fully as Lord and Savior in our lives, our marriages, our relationships, our families, and in this world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the place of the Blessed Mother in Carrie and my married life, it's a really fascinating thing. And here's how I want to say it. On the one hand, I could paint a picture of you that could paint a picture for you that would make it sound like there's a tremendous sense of devotion where there are beautiful statues and icons in our home, and we speak about the Blessed Mother, and we pray a devout family rosary, and lots of stories like that. Talk about consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and having an enthroned image of the Immaculate Heart. And you know what? All that's true, but on the other hand, you can hear about stories where, we really struggle to get through a family rosary. The kids seem disengaged. We get distracted ourselves. Is it really doing any good? There doesn't seem to be much connection during the time of prayer. There doesn't seem to be much spiritual blessings that are pouring forth during the prayer or even visible after the prayer. And so there's a questioning about, is this even really worth doing? Shouldn't maybe we be doing a different kind of prayer that can have more impact. And that would be true. And so you can see both things part of a Catholic family life and a life that has a married couple that has pursued and put some time and energy and thoughtfulness into raising our kids as Catholics and involving in that the place of the Blessed Mother and specifically asking for her beautiful, sweet intercession over our lives. Carrie and I, on the moment that we got engaged, after Mass, kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, before the tabernacle, I asked Carrie to marry me. And the first thing we did is we walked over to a fresco of the Holy Family and we said a prayer where we entrusted our engagement, our marriage, and any children God would give us in our lives to the Holy Family, that we would be patterning our married life and our family life after the Holy Family, and entrusting ourselves into the hands of our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So, wow, that sounds really very devout, right? And then kind of coming forth from there, living our lives as a married couple before we had children, I would say in this domain of prayer, I was the one who took the initiative more than Carrie. I was the one who was quick to say, let's pray a rosary, or I would pray a rosary as part of my own regular life of prayer. But it's not as if Carrie and I had like a space of prayer in our home where we had a very special statue of the Blessed Mother dedicated, and we would pray a rosary together. That wasn't how the rosary was part of our life. However, when God blessed us with children, there was a definite intention for us to wash over our kids the Catholic life of prayer and introduce them and initiate them to welcome them into the way of praying as Catholics that we had found so beneficial and had borne fruit, and it was something that we wanted to introduce our kids to. Now, this isn't strange, right? I'm sure you hear talks about the Blessed Mother, and you'll discover that since the Blessed Mother gave the rosary to Saint Dominic back in the 13th century, you'll see this surge and this increase and this becoming commonplace, the reality of the rosary as a and or the devotion to the Blessed Mother as a prominent part of a saint's life. So many saints, you'll see, have a tremendous devotion to the Blessed Mother, and that's very often expressed and increasingly expressed in the reality of praying the rosary fervently, regularly, consistently. And in some certain saints that have escalated that to an even higher degree, as you get into the 1700s, 1800s with St. Alphonsus de Liguori, St. Louis de Montfort with consecration and the glories of Mary, you know, different writings, true devotion to Mary, the secrets of the Holy Rosary, things like this. But then even into our time, look at like three of the greatest saints of the last 50 years, you'd have to say, St. Padre Pio, well, he died in, 68, so that's just over 50 years, so closer to 60 years, and then St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. Each of these three very distinctively and in a beautifully Catholic way displayed a powerful insight into the reality of the rosary and of devotion to the Blessed Mother. So easily we can see this in the life of St. Padre Pio, who, if you read anything about his life, you discover that he was continuously praying the rosary when he wasn't saying Mass and hearing confession for 15, 16 hours a day. He had a rosary in his hand. And if he wasn't talking to someone, he was fingering the beads, praying a rosary. And he did so with a laser-focused insight that praying the rosary had great spiritual power in the spiritual battle we're facing, that the rosary is a spiritual weapon, And by praying the rosary, you would be bringing about the overthrow of the demonic forces that are coming against you or your loved ones or the people you're praying for. And you would be winning spiritual victory, winning spiritual ground over sin and other brokennesses and darkness that are in people's lives, and the winning of a soul for Christ and for salvation. So St. Padre Pio, we see praying the rosary, devotion to the Blessed Mother, as a spiritual weapon. The life of St. John Paul II, you see it in his coat of arms, where totus tuus Maria, I'm totally yours, right? His incredible devotion to the Blessed Mother, and the whole reality of the St. Louis de Montfort consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You see his tremendous love for Our Lady of Fatima and the connection between him and potentially what, that third secret of Fatima and his whole life. So he was, again, a beautiful representative of the Catholic tradition of giving a very special place in your own spiritual life to the Blessed Mother, including the incorporation of the consecration, the total consecration of one's whole life, all that I am, all that I have, all that belongs to me, all that I'll ever do, all of the merits I will ever have, entrusting them fully, finally, completely, and forever into the Immaculate Heart of our Mother Mary to be used by her for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. So that consecration reality beautifully displayed by St. John Paul II. And then Mother Teresa, she was someone, when you read her life story, Come Be My Light, you see that the Blessed Mother was, in so many beautiful ways, a mediator of good things, of blessings, of spiritual mothering and protection over her life and over her call, the call of Mother Teresa. And that is something that she utterly fostered in her community, the Missionaries of Charity. Really neat story around this. A dear friend of mine, a priest in the Archdiocese of Boston, I had been studying in Rome as a seminarian. I was never ordained, but studying in Rome as a seminarian for Boston. He was a year ahead of me, and he was going to Africa for a summer to do missionary work. And while he was in the seminary, that was what he did. And he was going to stay and serve at a Missionaries of Charity location. And so he was traveling with these two Missionaries of Charity. They were at the airport, and they had these boxes of goods that were going to the poor in Africa. And so he is traveling with these two sisters, these Missionaries of Charity. They get to the front of the line, and the woman at the gate checking them in says, I'm sorry, you have too many boxes. You can't take this many boxes. And here's my friend. He's like, these are for the poor. I'm sorry, there are too many boxes. There are three of you, and there you can only have two boxes each. There's too many boxes. And he's like, this is a Mother Teresa's sisters. I'm sorry, you can't do it. And he turns and looks at the sisters. The boxes have to go. He turns and looks at her. The boxes cannot go. He turns and looks and says, sisters, the boxes cannot go. And they said, the boxes must go. And then they said, sister, let's pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known. They prayed a memorare. They said, the Blessed Mother will take care of this. Blessed Mother will take care of this. And so they, right there in the airport, just prayed a memorare. And here's my buddy. He's looking. He's like, oh, this is perfect. What are you going to do? And they finished praying. And the guy that was directly behind them in line said, oh, sisters, I've just heard your situation. I don't have any boxes I'm checking, any luggage I'm checking. I'm happy to check those two boxes that you can't take. I'll do that for you. I just love that. So Mother Teresa, in her life and in her community, show the Blessed Mother as this beautiful intercessor who provides motherly care over the mission that the Lord would have you accomplish. So three great saints in our time, giving three powerful examples of the role that the Blessed Mother can play in our lives. All right, when we come back, I'm going to dive into praying the rosary, how many families do it in ways that we didn't, and then talk about how the rosary has lived in our lives. Back in a minute. Back to the program. The family that stays together prays together. Father Patrick Peyton in the Rosary Crusade in the 50s, 60s, just great crowds gathered them together and would pray a rosary and encourage families to pray rosaries. And that became a very common theme. Hey, if you're a Catholic family, pray a rosary as a family every day. It's 15, 20 minutes. You can do this. You can give 15 or 20 minutes to God. You can pray a family rosary. I did not grow up in a family that did that. However, I grew up next to my first cousins. My mom's sister lived next door to us, and they did. Every day after dinner, they would get down on their knees in their home, and they would pray a rosary. And it was just what they did. And it wasn't odd to us, but it was interesting that that never overflowed into our family for whatever reason. So I didn't grow up praying a family rosary. A lot of folks, when you pray a rosary, there are a lot of tools that can be used to help you pray a family rosary or to pray your own rosary, a scriptural rosary, for instance, where you'll have each of the mysteries, right? The 20 decades of the rosary, right? You've got what the joyful and the luminous, the sorrowful and the glorious mysteries. And with each of the mysteries, you'll have a scripture. And so you'll read the scripture and then you'll pray the rosary. And it's associating the scripture with a particular mystery of the rosary. And we'll talk a bit more about that under meditation. But again, that's not something that we ever did as a family, was to pray a scriptural rosary. That wasn't really a point of focus for us. Another one is to focus on a virtue connected with each of the decades of the rosary. That's something else that families will do, or a person will do, is the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. Pray for the virtue of faith. And so have that faith expectation that the Lord will be speaking to you and that you'll say yes to him, right? And so you pray for the virtue of faith. That's, again, that's not something that we focused on when we prayed a rosary, was not the idea of focus on a virtue. There also sometimes you see families that have booklets, right? So, and that booklet might have the prayers or a meditation for each of the decades. Again, a beautiful tool, something for you to consider. Go to your good local Catholic bookstore or go online to Catholic sites to get resources where you could print them out, probably for free, and do that. I know that Carrie, for a while when our kids were young, belonged to a co-op with other families, and we'd get together for events, and one of the families had these big, like, coloring book, but big, like, 11 by 14 sheets of the rosary, like, and you could color in the beads of the rosary, and you could color in, and as the family prayed, the younger kids would be able to be focused on coloring in the rosary while the prayers were happening. That's not something that we took into our own family. Our goal was to have our kids actually saying the prayers of the rosary during the rosary itself. And so that's just us. I know if you're just getting started, sometimes one of the tactics or strategies is don't try to overwhelm kids with too long of a prayer. So maybe just pray a decade of the rosary. Again, we didn't find that necessary. We found that if the kids saw us praying, it's something that we could introduce them into. But this is where Carrie was so very helpful, because she took sort of the strength of conviction I had about the call that I had as a father to be a spiritual leader in the home, and therefore to ensure that we're going to be praying as a family, and we're going to make the rosary have a central place, have a special place in our family's prayer life. And even if we didn't pray a rosary every day, we prayed a rosary regularly. And during certain seasons of the year, during the month of May, the month of October, during Lent or Advent, we pray a rosary every day. in addition to other times that you'll hear about as I'm sharing. So for us, introducing the kids to the idea that you're going to pray the five decades of the mystery of the particular mystery of the rosary, the mysteries of the rosary that are assigned to that day, that this is something that we're going to have as an expectation that you participate in. Harry, on the other hand, brought the beautiful gift of being trained as a teacher in classroom management and behavior management, and knowing that sometimes you need to introduce a bit of freshness, a different approach, so that it stays fresh for the kids, so that they don't just get caught up into a repetitive prayer that isn't very meaningful. It's just they can kind of fade out, their eyes can glaze over, and they're just thinking in their minds as the prayers are being prayed. And that can be a temptation for all of us, let's be honest. So how do we help keep the kids keep their attention on the rosary itself? Okay, so there are some things that I did that didn't work, and there were many things that she did that worked. Okay, one of the things that I did that didn't work was using the rosary as a threat if they didn't pray well. All right? Here's how that went. All right, everybody, come together. Time to pray a rosary. Okay, here we go. Praying the rosary. And if we're praying the rosary, if we have kids talking or kids not praying and I don't hear them, then I would say, look, you're going to get in trouble. And if they did it again, I said, look, if you don't do this, you're going to stay after the rosary and you're going to pray another rosary with me. And what I didn't get, which is so obvious when you hear it, was the kids eventually said to me, Dad, you do realize what you're doing, don't you? That when you threaten us with the punishment of praying a rosary, if we don't pray the rosary well, is that you're associating it with a negative thing. You're letting us know that if you don't pray this well, I'm going to threaten you with this terrible punishment. You've got to pray a rosary. Oh, yeah, that's probably not the best strategy. And so I stopped doing that. Some of the things that we did that Carrie, to counteract that, she said, look, Tom, she said, consider praying the rosary like the scripture parable of the sowing of the seeds, that Jesus talks about the sower sows seeds, and you know the parable. Some lands on the path, people trample it, the birds steal it away. That's the devil. We have the soil that lacks depth, and it dries up and withers for lack of nourishment. The third, among brambles and thorns, it gets choked off. And then the fourth is on fertile soil, and it bears fruit. And she says, look, Tom, the Lord is saying, just expect 25% success rate when we're praying. So for every rosary we're praying, we should probably only expect 1 out of 4 to be good. And I like that. That's actually very realistic, because it's, I want to say that, you know, we've prayed some of the ugliest rosaries in history. and the ugly rosaries can take all kinds of forms. Right? Our kids, they can be, we would tend to pray the rosary in the evening, right? Because then everyone's home. Often there would be some kind of family event, not family event. Someone in the family has an event, very often associated with sports, some practice or some game. And so now they're finally all back together. And it would probably be around 9 o'clock, 8:30 when they're younger. But somewhere between 8:30, maybe 8 and 9 is when we would pray our rosary. And we would gather in the same spot. This is one of the important things that we would do, is gather in a space that becomes associated with family prayer. And so if you're going to pray a rosary, do that. Pray in a space that can become associated with the experience of prayer, so that that space becomes invested with that fund of experience. You get that fund of experience of saying, oh, when we come together and we're sitting here and we're in this space, then in fact, we pray. And so it builds the habit. It builds it into their bodily memory This is what we do when we're in this space. And so, depending on the house we were in, that might be literally simply like at the top of the stairs, there was like a landing, an open area, and we would sit there. And so one of the reasons we would sit there is that there's less distractions, right? There's not just comfortable chairs for people to be on and pillows to lay their heads on. And so when the kids got a bit older, okay, let's gather in a living room. And there was just a constant battle. Sit up straight. Don't lie down. Sit up straight. No, open your eyes. No, you're not just resting your eyes and you're really praying, but you're praying in your head as your head is on the pillow and you're laid out on the couch. No, sit up. No, no, feet on the floor. Put your feet on the floor. Sit up. Give some real attempts of using your time and energy to pray well. Don't talk to your neighbor. Some of my kids eventually learned sign language, and they would do signs to each other. And when cell phones became a thing, they weren't part of our lives too much, but towards the last maybe for a handful of years, they would maybe want to sneak their phone or even sneak a book. And it would be frustrating. And so one of the things that I would do is I began to realize that, okay, in addition to me correcting them and positioning them to be able to pray better, to be more likely to pray, is something that I learned from a book written by Father Tadeusz Dajer. He was a Polish priest. He was a great devotee of John Paul II. I'm probably butchering the actual pronunciation of the last name. But he wrote a book on prayer, and in it, he talked about praying the rosary as a family and having kids struggle to pay attention, that their minds are wandering and they're distracted and they're distracting others. And he said, it's your job to, in that moment, not correct them, but to go deeper into your own prayer and magnetically draw them into prayer, that you will have a greater impact on them, not by correcting them and chiding them for their bad practice, but by you instead plunging deeper into the heart of prayer. And that will be like a black hole in the positive sense. It'll be a magnetic gravitational pull, and it'll pull their minds and hearts into prayer. And so for me, I have held on to that principle for years and years and years. I have to go deeper into my own prayer to make the rosary more magnetic for the rest of my family. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So, talking about the gift of the rosary and praying it well. Okay, I gave a spiritual principle. Go deeper into your own prayer, and that will magnetically pull kids into a better attitude of prayer. Well, it's not magic. And it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen quickly. But it does sow seeds. It does sow seeds that can bear great fruit. Okay? Now, this is where, again, Carrie comes in and, at the different stages of our lives, introduced different ways of praying the rosary that inculcated it. It made it fresh sometimes, and it made it something that was supernatural, becoming more natural. This is a natural part of just how we are as a family, and it still impacts our family even until today. And so, just some simple, for instances. So I mentioned that we gather in a certain space. One of the things that Carrie would do is have the right environment. And so she would have the lighting be in a certain way so that it created this atmosphere. Now, in addition to that, we did have statues of the Blessed Mother, icons of the Blessed Mother. We made sure that each of our kids had a rosary. And if they didn't have their own personal rosary with them, we had a bunch of extra rosaries, and that we would pass it out so that every kid had their own rosary. So you want your kids to have a rosary. If you yourself have a rosary, carry it with you. I carry it here in my pocket. Here's my rosary right there. I carry my rosary with me. Now, I like these rosaries that are made entirely of, it's like thick string, really, really thick string, almost like a rope. Like, and so each of the beads are knots of the string. And the reason is they don't break. I've gone through so many rosaries with the plastic beads and the beads fall off and the string is thin, or so many rosaries where you have the little metal loops and the loops disconnect and the beads fall off. And so I'm at the stage in my life where I need a rosary that is not going to fall apart from me. I was not the guy that had the pouch for the rosary that I had in my pocket. I just had the rosary. And so, so having a rosary is super valuable, to have each of your kids have a rosary. Now, when they were very young, we didn't do that. They eventually got rosaries as they got a little bit older. And that became, again, something that was going to be less of a distraction. They're not going to be whipping each other, spinning it on their fingers, things like that. But when they were very young, Kerry would not only have, like, here's our statue of the Blessed Mother, and we have certain, like, lights turned down, and we had a candle lit. There were different things that the kids did to get more engaged in the rosary. When they were very young, it was something as simple as one of the kids got to use a lighter, an automatic lighter, to light a candle for every Hail Mary, or light a candle for each of the mysteries. And so by doing that, you had a level of engagement of the kids, and the kids are captivated by seeing more lights come on, like these little tea candles, right? The little candles that you'd use for prayer. And so that was one thing that she did. Or it was a little, like, it was like a bead block, right? It was like a little block that was, okay, here's our second, here's our third, here's our fourth. So as the kids were very young, it was very tactile, it was very visible. When the kids got a bit older, one of the things that we began to introduce our kids to was the fact that praying the rosary meant more than just saying the words. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for families to overcome. And honestly, for us as just praying individually to overcome, is that we pray the rosary only at its basic level, which is the discursive level, the level of discourse, the level where we're just speaking about the rosary. Speaking the prayers of the rosary. And is that a legitimate way of praying the rosary? Absolutely. Is there a goal or an ideal when you're praying the rosary discursively? Yes, there is. It's you pray the words and you mean what you say. And you say the words in a way that is invested with a sense of love, tenderness, care, devotion, where you really are praying with a sense of really fully engaging in that moment by how you're praying with your voice. That can even show up by things like you pray on your knees. That was something that I would feel called to do if my kids were struggling sometimes to pay attention. I would pray on my knees. And one of the things that I would have them do if they were struggling and they're paying attention, they were misbehaving, is I'd say, okay, now pray on your knees right now. Get on your knees. You're going to finish this rosary on your knees praying. But I would be praying with them on my knees. So I would set the example. I would set the example of praying on my knees. And sure enough, occasionally, some of my kids, one or another, would also pray the rosary on their knees. So it can have that overflow effect. Remember that magnetic pulling effect. Okay, so that's the first way of praying the rosary, is you pray it by just saying the words. And that's still a very valuable way to pray the rosary. But we're called to go further than that. Okay, we're called to go further than that. And that means the second level is that second stage of prayer, which is associated with the illuminative stage. The first stage, the discursive, is purgative. The second stage is meditation, where we are using our imagination, our memory, and our reason, our intellect, to think about, to imagine the scene of the mystery. And what we've learned about that mystery, we're penetrating it more fully by the grace of God. God is enlightening those inner capacities of our mind with further light so that we are entering more fully into the mystery itself. Because that, now we're getting closer to the heart of what prayer is all about. It's growing in our union with Christ. And one of the beautiful, powerful principles of the spiritual life is that the mysteries of Christ's life are to be enfleshed in our lives. The mysteries of Christ's life show up in our lives so that when we're praying the rosary, we're praying the first, second, third joyful mystery, those mysteries can touch, take root, and manifest themselves in our lives. What a striking thing. But that means that we need to understand what the mystery is, and we need to ponder it, go deeper into it. Okay, how did these first two ways of praying show up in our family? Well, first of all, the discursive, praying well, the words of the rosary, this was a challenge for my kids, because some of my kids, and this is what would happen, is that I would start the rosary, I would start an opening prayer, I would do the opening prayers of the rosary, and then each of the mysteries, we'd take turns having one of the kids lead the mystery. Well, I swear to you, some of my kids, I would say, you're praying the prayer, you're praying the Our Father so fast, you're praying the Hail Mary so fast, Jesus cannot understand you. That's how fast you're praying. Not only can I not understand you, Jesus can't understand you. All right. As I say, slow it down. Slow it down. And sure enough, in the second half where we're praying in unison, some kids would be praying so fast they'd get way ahead of the other kids. And so this would again start to bother me. So what I started to do is I came up with the five good Hail Mary mystery. So here's the dealio, kiddos. Each decade of the rosary, each mystery has 10 Hail Marys. However, if you can give me five good Hail Marys, we'll be done with that mystery. Five good Hail Mary mystery. And so they would have the chance to be freed from praying five Hail Marys for each mystery as long as they prayed each of the Hail Marys well. And what would happen is the person who was leading it would pray it a certain way, and then the second half, the other kids would be praying it, and if they all did it well, I would hold up one finger. So there's one, and everyone's looking. Okay, yes, we got one. And then the second one was good. Yeah, they got two. And then all of a sudden, in the third one, one of the kids starts talking. And when that particular Hail Mary ended, I just didn't move my hand. It was still two. And they're like, oh, come on, let's go. And they start correcting each other. And then if it happened again, still two. And then they did another one, three. Okay, then they did it again. Nope, still three. No, they did it again. Still three. Do it again. Still on three. Okay, lock in, everybody. Okay, now we got to four. Now we got to five. I tell you, what was really interesting was it elevated this sense of we're in this together. We ought to be praying this well. And if we do it, we're going to be rewarded. But almost without exception, these five good Hail Mary rosaries, they were always praying at least 10 Hail Marys for that decade. So even though they thought they were getting off like quicker, they actually were learning how to pray better. And they were often praying 10 Hail Marys in a particular mystery anyways. Okay, so that was one strategy we did as the kids got older. Another one was a talk about it rosary. Now, a talk about it rosary is a way of focusing on meditation. Remember, meditation is the thinking in your mind, the composing of the scene in your mind. And so when they were younger, this is how we did it. Carrie had at our local good local Catholic bookstore bought the Stations of the Cross, right? So she bought in pictures, 8.5 by 11 pictures, and she laminated them all. So she had laminated pictures of the Stations of the Cross and of the 20 mysteries of the Rosary. And she would throw them all in a big mess on the floor, like take a deck of cards and you spread them out on the floor. And when the kids were younger, we'd say, okay, the third glorious mystery, Pentecost, and whoever's mystery it was, they would have to go find the picture of Pentecost. And they would find it, and they'd hold it up and say, is that it? Yes. And they'd hold it up and say, okay, what's happening in that scene? Who's there? What's going on? And the kids would call on them, and the kids would talk about that particular mystery. And so it was really neat because it was a way for them to, oh, and so when they were younger, that was the talking part was a lot shorter. And then they would hold the picture up during the praying of those 10 Hail Marys for that decade. When they got older, the talk about it rosary was, instead of praying 10 Hail Marys, let's talk about the mystery. And so we'd talk about not only what is the mystery, but who's in it, what's happening, and how does it apply to our lives. So that was trying to apply that principle that the mysteries of Christ's life are meant to come alive in our lives through a living reflection. And that was like meditation. It was a beautiful way of making the Word of God in that prayer come alive for us. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So inculcating the rosary in our family's life, it definitely took center stage in times of family prayer. And like I said, we prayed the rosary regularly growing up, daily during certain seasons of the year. But Carrie was really good at saying, look, we have got to keep this fresh. We got to help our kids get a sense of how do you pray it? So one other way that I would do this, and I still do it even today, is we're praying the rosary. And if I'm recognizing that my kids are tired and they're just going through the motion of saying the words, while someone is leading the first half, I will give a brief commentary while they're praying the first part of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And I'll say, okay, remember, this is the first joyful mystery. This is when Gabriel comes to Mary. We need to be open to God's messenger to us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Okay, I want you to have that expectant faith that the Lord is here with us and he's going to speak to you. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. So while the one kid is leading the first half of the rosary, I'm feeding their mind. I'm feeding their mind with something to ponder so that they stay connected and engaged. Because it is so easy. We are so weak-minded. We are so not practiced at pondering the truths of faith, especially in this moment in which we're living, that it is so easy for us to not pray well. And so we don't want to settle for that. So that was something, that's one thing that I would do. And I mean, I still do today, is that. Now the rosary, however, also played a part, in our family's life beyond family prayer. So for instance, whenever we would take an extended ride, and an extended ride would be, say, anything longer than an hour. So if we were going, if we lived down near Tacoma, and if we were driving all the way up past Everett to go visit one of Carrie's sisters, their cousins, we would get in the car, and we'd say to the kids, okay, hey kids, we live about, 7 or 8 minutes from the highway. Once we reach the highway, we're going to pray our family rosary. And this is a routine that has stayed with my family throughout our kids' lives. Even today, if we have a shorter ride home, like we were at an event in Coeur d'Alene, we were visiting with a family, and we've got a 40-minute ride home or a 35-minute ride home, we're going to pray a rosary. We know that when our kids get home, it's not going to be very strategic to get our kids praying at that point. So let's pray our family rosary right now in the car on the way home. And there's no pushing back. There's no fighting. The kids know it. In fact, what ends up happening and what ended up happening quite quickly is that our kids would say, forget about waiting for the highway. Let's just start right now. let's get this let's get this over with, is what they were saying. But they knew that this was going to be a thing. And so if there was going to be a ride of, again, about an hour, we would start with the family rosary. We would start with that rosary. Another time that we did this was when we would go to adoration as a family. We lived, do you know how far away we lived from the adoration chapel? For most of my kids' years growing up, we lived one rosary away. Yes. Yeah, we lived about 15 minutes away from the adoration chapel. And so what we did was, hey, kids, we're going to go spend 30 minutes at the adoration chapel where the Lord is exposed. And we would have the kids pray, and we would pray a family rosary on the way to adoration. Now, I have to admit, these were some of the ugliest rosaries in the history of the rosaries ever being prayed. But the rosary had a particular role to play in that moment. And the role that it had to play was to quiet my kids down, to help my kids transition from whatever it was they were doing back in the house to the time where they were going to be quiet in prayer in adoration. So instead of letting the kids just listen to music, chit-chat, just be engaged in whatever it is they wanted to do, or if there was a phone hanging around at that point where they want to look at something, No, we're praying a rosary. We're going to pray a rosary. And even if it wasn't done with great devotion, it really was meant to clear the ground so that when they got to the adoration chapel, their spirits were better prepared. They had sort of flushed from their system some of the distractedness of day-to-day life. I found that super helpful. So just again, a practical thing that you might consider. Now, for me personally, and this is now I'm talking to moms and dads here, especially dads, I did consulting work for 25 years, and I was often driving several hours on the road to get to a client's site. And I made it a practice to pray all 20 decades of the rosary for my family. Or at a minimum, I would pray, if I'm driving longer than a half an hour to some place, I would pray a rosary. And so I would pray a rosary for my family. So that was just the first thing. My default setting when I left the house, don't turn on the radio, you're not turning on something to listen to on your phone. No, you're going to pray a rosary. And I just made that my habit. It was part of how I exercised my ministry as the spiritual leader of the home. And I knew that, hey, you know what? Later on that night, I'm going to be praying a rosary. And that's fine. I'm praying a rosary here for my family. I'm praying it there with my family. And I remember a powerful time where what I would do is, in praying the rosary, I would say, Lord, I pray this rosary for Carrie. And I would imagine her in my mind. Now, I'm driving, so my eyes are open, right? But I'm holding her in my mind. And if I sensed that the Lord was asking me to pray for something, I would pray for that. And then I would go on to Mary Grace. Lord, I pray for Mary Grace. And I would wait till her image came into my mind. And then I would just ponder and I'd say, Lord, I just give you Mary Grace. And then I give you Anne Marie. And I give you Mary Catherine. I got 9 kids. And so it takes me a while to wind up before I'm even starting into my prayer. And so one time as I'm doing this, I get to Luciana, my 8th child. I pray for Luciana and I give you Luciana. And all of a sudden I felt like Luciana was given back to me. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I just give you Luciana and give her back to me. Lord, I just pray for Luciana. Lord, wherever Luciana is, whatever's going on, please bless Luciana. Just take care of her, watch over her, protect her, bless her. Finished the rosary. I got on the phone. I called Carrie. I said, Carrie, how's Luciana? She's like, what? How did you know? Why would you even say that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, well, just a little while ago, we were at a park and all of our kids were there and everyone was running around. We all got back into the car And this is a big park, like woods and different sections to the park. And we got in the car just before we were going to leave. It's like, where's Luciana? She wasn't in the car. And they're like, oh no. And this is in Tacoma, not the safest area. And so the kids ran back out into the park and they found Luciana on a swing and got her. She was 1 year old, got her back in the car. And I'm like, wow. Oh my goodness. What a powerful connection, that intercessory protective care from praying the rosary. So this is just something that you can make a habit for your own life. Okay. Now, this is, you raise your family this way, and what's the hope? That you're handing on to them a way of life that they will continue for themselves. And this is where I want to talk about the idea that the rosary has this powerful sense of discrepancy between input and output, right? The input of the rosary is how you're actually praying. And again, my kids, they've prayed some really ugly rosaries, and they still do today, in terms of, they're happy-go-lucky and fine. And all of a sudden I say to them, time to pray the rosary. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm dying. I'm tired. I got homework. I'm sleepy. And they were fine a minute ago, right? And so the input of the rosary is, like Carrie said, 25% success rate. It's going to be ugly. But what's the output? What comes out the other side? Well, we're at that stage in life where we have, our kids are now, youngest is 13, all the way up to 26. And I can share with you honestly, and just, wow, what a gift from God. So many of my kids pray the rosary daily or regularly and have a powerful sense of devotion to the Blessed Mother. A couple of years ago, one of my two sons said to me, he just turned 17 on his 17th birthday, and he said, Dad, I want to tell you something. He said, I prayed a rosary every day that I was 16 years old. Wow, that's so powerful. And many times when he was home last summer, he would come up to me and say, late at night, 11 at night, 11:30 at night, hey, Dad, do you want to pray a rosary with me? And I was sometimes so tired, and I had already prayed my rosary. And I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. Let's go. And again, it was like, wow, what a beautiful thing. Here he is taking this spiritual initiative in this lead of saying, I'm going to pray a rosary. And now sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I was like, I was too tired, too sick, or I'd already prayed it. And I'm like, John Mark, are you okay if you do this one by yourself? But most of the time I would say, I'm going to do this with him. My two daughters that are at Franciscan University joined a household, TTM, Totus Tuus Maria, where they consecrate themselves to the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother and have a regular devotion of praying the rosary. My oldest daughter, Mary Grace, is someone who has a daily regular devotion to the Blessed Mother and praying the rosary. And I just think, what beautiful gifts, right, that came out of this. I didn't plan it. I couldn't make it happen, but I just see the power of the rosary's fruitfulness. And there's, again, there's so much more I could say. One of the things I've learned to do is pray the rosary in a way that incorporates life circumstances and situations. And so for many years, I would pray the rosary live on Facebook to gather people together around the world. So I'll just end on that point just because I'm out of time. So I hope and pray that this is an encouragement to you to pray a rosary individually, as a family, and for your family. God bless.